So this week, it's Parshas Kisovoi. When you come to the land, God says, do you come to the land that I'm going to give you to inherit it? And you should take Mereshis Kol Pri Adama, from the first of the fruits of the earth, which you bring forth from your land, which God is giving you, and put it in a basket, and go to the place which God has chosen to rest his, dwell his name there, and come to the Kohen who should be in those days, and say to him, Higadati Hayoim, I have told God today that I came to the land that he swore he would give to our ancestors. And the Kohen takes the basket from your hand and puts it in front of the altar. V'yonisu yomar t'lifnei Hashem, and then you have to stand and bear witness. And you say to him, Arami oived avi, the Aramean really hated my father, talking about Lavan hating Yaakov. Vayered Mitzrayim, and he went down to Egypt. Vayogasham b'mseimat, and he dwelt there. He sojourned there, few in number. V'isham l'goygodo, became a great nation, otzum v'rov, powerful and many. And the Egyptians were bad to us, and they oppressed us, and they put hard work on us. And we cried to God, the God of our fathers, and he heard our voices, and he saw our oppression and the work and the pressure and the stress, and he brought us out of Egypt. In fact, we say the Haggadah, because if you look in the Pesach Haggadah, this is in fact the tamtzis, the essence of the Haggadah, this declaration, Arami oived avi, vayered Mitzrayim, the Aramean hated, loathed my father, and he went down to Egypt. So there's a lot of Ishbitz HaTorah on this, why this is called Haggadah. And the Gemara says, Haggadah, whenever something is Haggadah, it's Dvorim HaKoshen Kigidin. It's things which are really hard words, harsh, right? We have the easiest speeches, Amira, saying. And then we have Dibur, which is speaking. And then Haggadah, which is telling. Amira is Lashon Racho, is gentle. And Dibur is hard, and Haggadah is really tough. So what's so tough? And in the Haggadah we say, well, you know, it's because we're beginning with, in the beginning we were idol worshippers, mitchila oivda v'dezorah hayavisenu. Our ancestors were all pagans. So, you know, that's very makosha, you know, we're not some noble history of the Jews, right? We're in Egypt, we're helpless and powerless, and we're crying. Not a great story of how we overthrew the Egyptians and we fought for the freedom and humanity. None of that. So it's from a question again. It's hard stuff. The question is here. The Ishbitzer asks, you come to the Kohen, you bring your basket full of first fruits, and you say to him, Higadati Hayim, I told God today, Kibosi al Ha'aretz, that I've come to the land that he promised to give us. So this is called the Haggadah. Higadati Hayoy. So the Ishbit says, well, how does the word Haggadah apply here? Usually Haggadah means something that's tough, tough words. So who's the toughness? Where's the toughness in these words? So the Ishbitzer answers, and the Radzina, and you know, as his children of Yaakov and Mois Desha and his grandson, the Radzina, we've been learning through Sefer Devarim, we've been learning these Torahs, and how they take his original Me'er Shiloyach words and they are marchiv, they just mine them, they mine and they dig and they broaden. Until these like little Torah that we were learning in the Me'er Shiloyach, they become these huge rivers of information. Last week we were learning Ki Seitze La Melchama Levecha, you know, you go out to war on your enemies, and the son of Hashem Nekech B'Yidach, and God puts it in your hands, V'Shavisa Shivya, and you take captive its captives, Re'isa B'Shivya Eshes Yifas Toya, and you see this beautiful woman, and you desire her, and you take her. And we were talking about how, you know, every aspect of God in the world has to be has to be absorbed and assimilated. You know, we are in the world because of assimilation, not to become assimilated so much as to assimilate. Then the end of the Sedra last week was Amalek. And this is the parsha that we read on Parsha Zohar. Remember what Amalek did to you when you came out of Egypt. You were on the way, and this is the parsha we read before Purim. And then this week's Sedra begins Vahoyo Kisavoy, Vahoyo. Vahoyo is always Loshen Simcha. And it will be. When you come to the land, what's the connection? So this week's Sedra is the 50th. We've finished the 7 times 7. Now we're into the 50th. In the 50th, everything goes back to where it began. Where did it begin? It began, the Zohar Kodesh says that there's something, you know, in Greek philosophy, there's something called illas or illos, the cause of all causes, the primum mobile, the first mover. There's something higher than that. There's the illos al kol illos. You know, the Gemara talks about Yisrael ola b'machashavo, that Israel arose in the thought. So the highest sefira is chochma. But olo b'machshava, if something arose, so that thought is as bad as, what can I imagine higher in God than thought? Right? So if I say olo b'machshava, something arose in the thought, I'm talking about something higher, right? That's keser. What can I know about keser? Definitely at the level of Osalahara, this is definitely the level of, you know, Hashi, be quiet and don't even, you know, stop and think about what you're talking about. Just this is not for you to think about, for sure. Whatever it is, there Yisrael ola b'machashava, right? And when Moshe Rabbeinu comes and asks about Rabbi Akiva, God says to him, shtoik, be quiet, there's nothing to be said here. This is Moshe, be quiet, say still. This is how it arose in the thought, meaning it's higher than machshava, whatever that means, kesa. So what is malchus? Malchus is that place in the universe for free will. That's malchus. Where everything is so hidden already that you can imagine you have free will. That is malchus. In the world where there is a bechira, that you have a choice, you can go left, you can go right, you can go forward or backwards, that you can see yourself as self. That place where a human being can stand outside himself and look at himself and see himself, that place, that's malchus, right? Because in that place, a person can, if he wants, not see God, see himself. There's malchus, because in that seeing is a choice. What am I going to see? What eyes am I going to look with? Who am I going to see when I look at myself? What am I going to know? And all these years that we've talked about how Bechira Chofshis and free will, it's an illusion, and, you know, the Ishbitza Torah, all these years that we've been saying it, but Lamasa, this is Malchus. This is the Sefira of Malchus, because it is here in this perception, in this choice, in this ability to see, that I can say to you, there is a God in the world. There is a God in me, and there's a God in the world, and there's a God in you, there's a God in us. We are all the creation, and we represent the divine. And so when we talk about Malchus, what do we mean? the sovereignty, the dominion, the king, the ruler. If I say that in everything that I see, I tell you that in everything that you are and in everything that you see, everything that we are is God, there is Malchus, because we are proclaiming the divine. When I talk about the 50th Sedra, I'm saying that this Keter Malchus, this Malchus that we talk about, this perception that we have the ability to acknowledge or not, that this is the Olam HaMachshava, this is the original thought that is higher than the thought. Olam HaMachshava. It goes up from the thought and arises. And this is Knesset Yisrael. This is the assembly of Jewish people who, since we are, since Avraham Avinu, we have been saying this in the world. In this way, in this language, in that way, in that language, with the Torah, with our bodies, with our emotions, with our davening, with our eating, with everything that we do in the world, we just keep on saying the same thing. Ribbono shel Olam, Master of the world, you created, you are the creator, you continue to create, and everything that is in the world is with you. So this is this week's Seder. And of course, this is the meaning of Bikurim, right? I take the fruits that come out of the ground, and I bring them back to God, and I give it back to God, and I say, it started with you, it ends with you. So the Bikurim, the first fruits, this ritual that we are doing, this is really just bringing once again the Keter Malchut, the crown of dominion, the highest sphere and the last sphere. I know it's Seifam B'Tchilosan. We were learning Seif Yitzira, we talked about how there is a bris, a covenant of desire that flows from Keser to Malchus, that Rotzoin HaPoshet, that simple desire is there. This is what we're talking about, Keser Malchus. That which arose in the thought, right up higher. So why is it that first we have to go through Parshas Kiseitze, Kiseitze la melchoma levecho? First, you have to go out, you have to step out, and then you have to encounter Amalek, and then you bring the Bikurim, and hello, you encounter Lavan, Arami Oivid Ovi. So, last week when we were talking about seeing in the nations that surround us, you know, the beautiful woman, really, the whole parasha there is talking about really one woman, Rochav HaZoyna. She lived in Jericho. She was a woman, she was called Rochav HaZoyna. In modern Hebrew, Rochav HaZoyna would mean Rochav, the prostitute, but we're told that she had a pundak, she had a restaurant, and she would feed people mezoinis, right? So therefore she was called Rochav HaZoyna, she would feed people. Okay, whatever. The Gemara says that we know the story in the book of Yehoshua, how after the death of Moshe, Yehoshua sends Kalev and Pinchas to spy the land, and they encounter Rochav, and she hides them, and they make her a promise that when they take Jericho, that they will spare her life, provided that she puts a red thread on her window, and anybody who's with her in the room there will be saved. The Gemara says that Kalev married her, and out from Rochav Azoino come four prophets who were also Kohanim. So four priestly prophets. The Gemara says anybody who called her name, who would just call her name, could like get an instant orgasm. She was so beautiful. Not sure what that means, but of course he had to know her, the Gemara says, not just... The Torah tells us in the sixth chapter of Joshua, it was the night when they came to Jericho, and it was the night that the day after Pesach, and they'd just finished circumcising themselves, and they were camped in front of Jericho. That the day the Mon ended, by Yishbois Hamon. And Joshua is there in front of Jericho, and he lifts up his eyes. Vayar v'hine ish oimid lenegdoi. There's this man standing there. V'charaboy shlufa b'yodoi, with this unsheathed sword. So Joshua goes to him and he says, are you one of us or are you one of the enemy? And he says to him, no, I am Sar Tzva Hashem, I'm the angel Michael, Michael. And now I've come. So Yehoshua falls on his face and he bows down and he asks him, what is it you want to say? And he tells him, take your shoes off because this is holy ground. And then the next pasuk, the beginning of chapter Vav, it says, V'yirichoi soigeres umisugeres mipnei bnei Yisrael. Jericho is locked with iron gates, umisugeres, and it is protected by these magical spells. Ein yoytze ve'ein bo, nobody can come and nobody can go. And Jericho was like the tabur, it was like the umbilicus of the land of Israel. Without taking Jericho, they weren't going to be able to take the land. And the Torah tells us, Yericho is sugeres and sugeres, it is wrapped around with iron bands, and the Yidden can't take it. And we know what happened. God says to Yehoshua, surround it, blow the shofars for 6 days, and on the seventh day, you know, the walls of Jericho fall down. All this is about Rochav Hazoino. Without Rochav Hazoino becoming, without what she has, we can't take Eretz Yisrael. We can't take the land of Canaan. We can't inherit it. We can't break through. You know, in the land of Canaan at that time were the seven nations, and they are like the dark side. They are the clipper of the seven Midois, Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, and Yisrael. And of course, Malchus. So, what was the three upper ones, right? The three, if the land of Canaan represents the seven lower sephirois in the dark side, so the upper, that was Amwin and Moav and Oig Melech Haboshan, that Moshe Rabbeinu already conquered for us the three Kesachach Mabino. Already Moshe took care of. Because that represents the upper spheres, they're not active in the sense of like arms and legs and a torso. They represent what it is that we were doing in the wilderness for 40 years, which we were the Dor Deo, we were the generation of knowing. And for 40 years, our whole Esek was not about mitzvahs, and it wasn't about mas and tovim, it wasn't about good deeds. It was about being surrounded with clouds of glory and living in the knowledge of God. Wherever we looked, whatever we saw, whatever we did, whatever we talked about, it was we were the Dor Deo, the generation of knowing. We weren't the generation of doing. It wasn't our job to do. We didn't really have any mitzvahs. We didn't really have plowing and sowing and reaping. We didn't have all the mitzvahs of, you know, giving to the kohen, the levi, and the poor, and all the whole Torah that was going to happen when we came into the land. Didn't have any of that, and we didn't need that. That wasn't because we were in the knowing. We were in the das. Before Yehoshua can take Yericho, he meets this angel, and the Gemara says, the Gemara says that he sees this angel with a unsheathed sword, so obviously he's scared. So there's something. This angel, even when the angel has come and said, you know, I'm the Sar Tzva Hashem, I'm the angel of the of like God's general, right? I'm the one who fights on behalf of the Jewish people against the other angels of the nations, you know, but still he came at Yehoshua with the sword, right? So Yehoshua knew, oh yeah, I've done something wrong. So he asked the angel, what did I do? He says, Emesh betalto tomid shel ben arbaim. Yesterday you didn't offer the sacrifice, the afternoon sacrifice. So Yehoshua says, is that all? He says, no. He says, and today you didn't learn Torah. You finished what you were doing and then you didn't learn. And Atabos, and I've come now because not learning Torah with the Jewish people, that's much worse than forgetting to do the sacrifices in the Mishkan. So these were two sins that Joshua had done. Right? So one, that he hadn't made sure that the sacrifices were brought, and two, that he hadn't been learning and teaching Torah to the Eden. So the Radzina says, this problem is because either with the generation of knowing, right, and we learn Torah day and night, or with a generation of actions. But when Yehoshua tried to be the generation of learning, then he forgets to do the sacrifices. If he tries to be the generation of action, he forgets to learn Torah. It's very hard to integrate. And if we don't integrate, the intellectual with the creative, physical, active, whatever these phrases are that we use in modern lingo, if we can't be a farmer and at the same time head of the Sanhedrin, basically, then we can't get into the land of Canaan. We can't inherit it until we integrate, till we become whole. So Yericho is segeris and segeris. Jericho is locked and barred and we can't get in. And if we can't take Jericho, we can't take the land of Canaan. We can't take our own inheritance. We can't move from being that generation, the wilderness, to become the settlers in the land unless there's something miracle that happens to us. We don't know how to do it. Joshua doesn't know how to do it. If he does one thing, he forgets the other. If he tries the other, he can't do the one thing. And you know what the secret is? The secret is Rachav HaZayna. This woman, this Yefas Toya, this beautiful woman who has to become the Jewish people, Rachav HaZayna has to be integrated into the Jewish people, Ki Seitzei LaMelchama LeVecho. And when she becomes a Jewish woman, then all of a sudden we are all of us healed, and suddenly we make the connection. The three upper sephiros of Kesach Chochma Bina that Moshe Rabbeinu had integrated, and the seven that Yehoshua is now going to integrate, it all happens like magic. Not magic. What is it? I don't know, I wasn't there. But again and again we find, you know, and this is the Ishbitzer who teaches that there's the metaphor is the beautiful woman, right? But there's something there in the goyim that unless we get it, what we were saying last week, he was saying that the koichos gedolos, right? The Radzina was saying that these huge spiritual treasures that by the goyim are even greater than by the Eden ki atem hamaat mikolam, because God says you're the least of all the people, right? So he's hidden there among the goyim these amazing things. And as soon as Rochav is taken, then Yericho has fallen, and God shows us how to do that with the Shoifrois. Then the land is open, and Yehoshua has basically no trouble taking the land, right? So, when we integrate the 10 Sephirois, then, which means that we are able to connect what's in the head with what's in the body, basically. We become whole. We become whole. V'hoyo, then you come into the land. So, the Medrash says, Ro te'eno shebichra. A person goes down into his field, and he sees a fig that's starting to bud. Rimoin shebichra, he sees a pomegranate that's starting to come up. So he ties a gumi around it. He ties a little bandana around it. Says, this is going to be bikurim. And then, when it's ripe, he plucks it and he puts it in a basket. And he has to say, this is Bikurim. And he brings it to the temple and he puts it in front of the Kohen and he says, this is the Bikurim. And he bears witness. What's he bearing witness? He's bearing witness to the beginning, the end which is there in the beginning. And what do we have to contend with? You know, the Torah says, the Haggadah, which a person says, Arami Oved Ovi, the Aramean loathed my father, Vayerid Mitzrayim, and he went down to Egypt. We go back to Yaakov, we don't go back to Avraham and Yitzchak, right? And we got this little encapsulated history of the Jews. We don't mention Avraham and Yitzchak. We talk about the Aramean who loathed my father, and he had to go down to Egypt in a small number, 70, like the Haggadah says, we were just 70 people. Yaakov went down to Egypt. Avraham and Yitzchak are not mentioned here. Yaakov is mentioned. Why is it so important to mention going down to Egypt? So the Radzina says, the whole idea of Bikurim is that from the beginning and the end and the beginning, everything is connected, right? When a person comes to do avodah, there's two things. When you're worshipping, there's the beginning, when you begin, which is to say, when you open up your heart and you make the decision to worship God and to do something. And then there's the end, where you desist, where you stop, where you receive, where you are mekabel, where you become the receiver and you listen. That there's two different kitrugim, there's two different forces arguing when we come to worship, when we begin to worship. The Radzina says, Shebe'ez sheho odam maschel lahakis Hashem Yisbarach. When a person starts to recognize God, Oz boim b'nei Yishmael lekatrik. Then the sons of Yishmael come, and they argue. Shem oimrim, they say, She'ein moel avoida, what you are about to do, your worship, is absolutely of no value. Shehadeya shalahem, because their philosophy is shigzeiru keduma, that everything is already forecast, everything is already written, kismet, it's all in the stars. Shehashem yisborach hitbia betachlis b'hascholas b'riyas olam, from the beginning of the world, everything has already been written. So what you think you're about to begin is like meaningless. Ma'moyel l'avoydes adam, who do you think you are? Says Gorish Veret, you might as well not bother. V'zehu noyef, he says, and this is the dark side of Chesed. And what it really says is that, you know, the Muslim basically is saying that God cannot be seen in creation. My act has no significance. So you're planting, you're you know, digging the field and planting and doing all the things that you did, and then going out and seeing the Te'eno Shebichra, this fig that is, you know, budding and blowing up like a little balloon, you know, you say to yourself, oh, I see God. He says, you see nothing. When you see yourself, what are you seeing? You think God can be seen. Then, when you go and you pick the fruit, and you've got this tremendous joy, you know, look what I'm doing, I'm going to take it to the Beis HaMikdash. Then the Bnei Esav come, then the Christians come, right? And they say, She'ein Adam Tzorech La'avoyde Klau, who needs, what do we do? God needs you to do something? God is great, God doesn't need you to do anything. She'blida so Adam Mechav Nerotzen Hashem Yisborach, just eat the fruit already, you know? That the main thing is, you know, love your neighbor, and all these mitzvot are not important, you don't have to do any of this stuff. Because they agree, they agree that there is divine providence. But he says, you know what? You have no significance. It's not that your act has no significance. You have no significance. You know, we were saying that chesed is when you look out at the world and you see God. The Bnei Shmuel says that's an illusion. You can't see God. And Yitzchak, who is Gevura, he says, I look inside myself and I see God. And the Bnei Esav said, no, all you can see is yourself. And that's the dark side of Din. And that's Ritzicha, that's murder. Then comes Amalek. And Amalek is an amalgam of both of them. And it doesn't matter what you do, he always says, how do you know? And you say, look, you know, this beautiful sunset inspires me to daven. And he says to you, what inspires you to daven? That's what you think. All it is some aberration in your brain, that you have a special enzyme in the brain that gets triggered by these purple and red and orange colors, and that makes you feel this sense of awe. And all it is, it's glands. It's nothing. You don't see God, you don't feel God, you know. And you say, but I'm afraid to do an Avera. I fear this sense of trembling. He says, what do you feel, divine? What you there? You're hearing your father's voice saying, don't do this. And if you do this, you'll lose the love of your mother. And so, you know, all this is just conditioning. And this is how the brain works, that it's a socially... whatever it is that you do, Amalek comes and says, Sinishta Zoi. And how do you know? So on the one side, you have the dark side of Avraham, which is Yishmael. On the other side, you have the dark side of Yitzchak, which is Esav. And in between them, you have Amalek, who is like the dark side of both. And we have to be the sons of Yaakov. That's not the sons of Avraham or Yitzchak, because their light gets hidden. We have to be the sons of Yaakov, who is in the middle, who is at that point of the synthesis of the top three and the bottom seven. We have to be in the experiential. Person has to know that with his intellect, he can't do this. With emotions, you can't do this. This is not what worshiping God is about. We have to be in the moment of knowing. You know, Yaakov Avinu, what was the greatness of Jacob? That he never in his life did something that he didn't know what he was doing. He never did anything by accident. He never did anything without premeditation. He never said anything that he wasn't sure about. He was clear when he was right, and he was clear and when he was wrong. And it was Elikim Aroya Oisim Ma'odi. You know, he talks about God, who is my shepherd from the moment of my birth. Yaakov Avinu always felt before he did something, this is what God needs me to do now. And if he didn't know what God needed him to do now, he didn't do it. He thinks, oh, Havoisai Shishalchulafonov, that, you know, he thought his ancestors, Avraham and Yitzhak, were so great that they were able to walk before God and they took and made decisions and stuff. And he said, Mia, I'm gonished. I'm a sheep. I go where I'm led by my shepherd. Not realizing that this is the greatest of all the ways to be, which is, my shepherd wants me to go here, I go here. He wants me to go there, I go there. In other words, Yaakov Avinu is in a synthesis with the desire and the will of God. He's in the central column. He's at the place where all the Sephiris come together, the seven low ones and the three upper ones, in this node of knowing. And you know, Lavan, Yaakov's father-in-law, is the exact opposite. And in fact, you know, Lavan, you know, it's this beautiful white color, right? He's the one who's got the white kittel and the white gartel and the white yarmulke and the white socks and the white slippers. And he's the ultimate Kabbalist, is Lavan. And Lavan, all he wants to know is, what is the desire of God? How's that different from Yaakov? You know something? It's so difficult to know the difference between Lavan and Yaakov that you can't really tell the difference until you go down to Mitzrayim and to Egypt. Arami oved ovi vayered Mitzrayimo. The only way that you can really see clearly the difference between Yaakov and Lavan is for Yaakov and Lavan to go down to Egypt. And the Radzina says, when Yaakov knows what it is that God's desire is, his only ambition is to let everybody know. To be mamlich in the whole world should know. We talk about being a light to the nations, right? When Lavan knows the will of God, he only wants to do one thing, which is hide it, cover it, bury it. To be master. Yeah, so even though they both spend their whole life wanting to know what the will of God is, but ultimately, you know, and again the Radzina says that sometimes in the difference between Yaakov and Lavan, even the greatest of the great, Afagdoilim Shibigdoilim, make mistakes. Because Lavan says, since I know in my mind, I know God, right? I know what God wants. I know what his desire is. Therefore, I can do whatever I want. And Yaakov is just the opposite, right? So, I don't want to do anything I want. I only want to do what the desire of God is. Well, you know, what's the difference between them? So here, in the Ma'aseh Bikurim, right, in the bringing of these first fruits, we come into a moment, and it's a metaphor, right? You have to know how to integrate what's in your mind, what's in your heart, what's in your body, what's in your glands, what's in your feet, what's in everything, what's in your stomach. And you have to know how to deal with Amalek, who's always asking you, how do you know? How are you so sure? And not to get caught up in the dark side of the chesed, not to get caught up in the dark side of the gevurah. And the Ishbitzer says, when you come to the Kohen and you put the Bikurim in front of him, Higadati Hayoim, do you know who the Haggadah is? It's for the Kohen. Do you know who these words are like, bitter like the gal? For the Kohen. He spends his life in the Beis HaMikdash being Makriv the Karbonos, right? Worshipping and bringing these sacrifices. He spends his whole life there in the worship of God. And you come from your field with, you know, you've got mud underneath your fingernails and you're bringing stuff. You're bringing vegetables, you know, fruit. At that moment, it's very hard for the Kohen to accept that you, the farmer, are at a much higher level because you've integrated the upper and the lower. Because Yehoshua and Rochav have done their work, right? And you've gone from being the Dor Deo, this generation of knowing, and then you've become the generation of the action. You've become the farmer. The Kohen doesn't have that. He stays in that worship of God, and he's never able to integrate the farming and the agriculture. He's not. It's not his job. At that moment, when you, the farmer, bring that basket full of fruit and wheat and barley, whatever it is that you've brought, right? In that moment, the Kohen has to admit that not even the high priest, not even the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim, when he goes into Lifnai Lifnim, into the Holy of Holies, he doesn't get to that holy place where he can bring the Bikurim, where everything is goes back to the Machshava Techila, Soif Masa. The last act, the Machshava Techila, is there in that first thought. Thank you so much.